Let's open our Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 7 for our scripture reading this morning. Matthew chapter 7, and our focus will be from verses 7 through 11 on this sermon entitled, Ask, Seek, Knock. Matthew 7, 7 through 11. The Word of God says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? May God bless his word today as we read, as we study it, as we meditate on it. As many of you know, brothers and sisters, yesterday we had a Bible conference at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And it was a blessing. I was there and a few of you were there as well. What a blessed time of fellowship. What a blessed time of listening to the speakers preach the Word of God on the topic of growing as a Christian. Growing as a Christian. Now, Joel Beakey, one of the speakers, spoke on the topic of prayer. That was one of the topics that he spoke about. And he's challenged us with his words. He said, the value of growing in prayer is priceless. The value of growing in prayer is priceless. And so it's a good question this morning to ask, are we growing in our prayer life? Are you a more passionate prayer warrior today than you were 10 years ago? Are you more prayerful today than 5 years ago? Do you pray more now than 2 years ago? Is your prayer life more intimate now with God a few years ago? Here in Matthew chapter 7, dearly beloved, as Jesus continues his sermon, we fondly call the Sermon on the Mount, we see here encouragement towards prayer. Jesus keeps on going back to this topic of prayer. Remember, we already discussed this in chapter 6. There's already a big section there about prayer. But here, he unravels again the topic of prayer, and he expects us to be men and women who pray without ceasing. He desires that we prioritize prayer in our lives, in our daily lives. Whether you're a husband, or you're a wife, or a mom, or you're a dad, you're a single person, you're a student, it doesn't matter. If you're a Christian, you and I must prioritize prayer in our lives. Now, before we dive into the passage this morning, let's ask the basic question, what is prayer? And thank the Lord, Joel Beakey gave us also a good definition yesterday of what prayer is. He copied this from John Bunyan, an English writer and Puritan preacher in the 1600s, and you must remember him best because he wrote the book The Pilgrim's Progress. He said this as a definition of prayer. Prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart and soul to God through Christ with the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit. For such things as God has promised, or according to the word, for the good of the church, with submission, in faith, to the will of God. I think that is a beautiful definition of what prayer is. I think it covers a lot of the aspects of what is what we call prayer. So, dearly beloved, the challenge this morning as we look into this passage in Matthew chapter 7, 7 through 11, is that we must persist in our prayers. We must be persistent in our prayers. Now, what are key reminders here from our passage that Jesus gives us so that we will be persistent in our prayers? Well, three reminders here we find. In this passage, three reminders so that we will be persistent in our prayers. The first reminder is a reminder about our attitude. About our attitude. Look at verse number 7 in your Bibles. Jesus Christ here says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. This verse here, in fact, the entire passage really of the Sermon on the Mount serve as our guide as kingdom citizens, right? We have taught you that already. We are children of God. As children of God, as kingdom citizens, we have this guide on how we must live our lives. And that verse, verse number 7, is a potent verse to be encouraged to possess persistency in our prayers. Another word for persistency would probably be perseverance. We need to have tenacity. We need to be determined, or we have to have determination. So, dearly beloved, those are the words that would describe this challenge in verse number 7. The attitude of persistency is exemplified here by the three verbs. Simple verbs. Ask, seek, and knock. Those are the three verbs that are exemplified here that really shout at the mountaintops what persistency in prayer is all about. Now, let's observe a few things about these verbs. The first thing we realize about these three verbs is that they are present imperatives. Present imperatives. Those of you who love the English language, you know what it is. We have three tenses of the verb: the past, present, and future. If you look at those verbs, they are on the present tense. Ask. Not that, oh, Pastor, in the past, I was really there all the time in the throne of grace asking God, but that was the past, and it's no longer true to you. No, Christ has to continue to ask. It's in the present tense. Ask and seek and knock. In fact, they read, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. That's the tense of the verb here. That's the gravity here that Jesus Christ is talking about. Don't stop. Keep on doing it. Keep on praying. And if you'd like to get an interpretation of that, Ephesians chapter 6 would be a good passage to go to. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18. Where here, the Word of God tells us, let me see, that's not verse 18. Galatians, that's why. Ephesians 6, 18 tells us, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And I'd like you to highlight that word, always. Praying always. And Paul continues with the words, with all prayer. In other words, with all kinds of prayer and supplication, asking for your needs in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. Again, he mentioned the word all, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Even intercessory prayer is something we must be involved in. We just don't pray for ourselves. We ask, we seek, and we knock on behalf of our brothers and sisters. Dearly beloved, that's what the verb tells us there. We keep on asking, we keep on seeking, we keep on knocking. That's one of the things we see here on the verbs. Now, another author suggested that these verbs are also in progressive intensification. Progressive intensification, meaning persistent prayer keeps on asking. Then we don't stop there. It goes further to seek. And it continues to seek. But it doesn't stop there. We go up another notch. Lastly, it intensifies to knocking. Persistent knocking. Persevering knocking. Persistent knocking suggests an intense desire for entry. And that's what we have. Oh, you know, dearly beloved, I'm far from a perfect father. And I love that Sue and I get to have enough sleep at night. But in the middle of your sleep, Dada! Daddy! And sometimes you think, am I dreaming? And you wake up, like, nah, go to sleep. The asking, right? But She keeps on calling, "Daddy, Daddy." Like, and then she might be thinking, "Where's Daddy?" She would look for me. She would go to our bedroom. "Daddy, Daddy." And then you wake up, like, she's on my face. You're not there. And she would, of course, you have awake, right? You're not fully awake. Because I was enjoying my sleep. I was expecting to have a 7-hour sleep. Because I did not have a sleep, I did not have enough sleep that night before. And that night before. But here she is. And I go back to my sleep. Because I was like, "Hi, let's go back to sleep." But no, she doesn't stop there. "Daddy!" And if our door is closed, and of course you need to wake up. I'm not dreaming. I need to wake up and ask, "What's wrong?" "My throat hurts." "You'll be fine. Go back. Go back to bed. Sleep." "No, Daddy, it's me." "Okay, let's go down. Let's drink some water." Dearly beloved, that is asking, seeking, and knocking. We learn a lot from kids, don't we? And that really gives me a good example on how we should be as children of God, to God. Now, God is not like me, of course, dearly beloved. Please. We understand that when we seek, when we ask, and we seek, and we knock, God's ears are always listening. And it doesn't shoo us away, or then say, "Why are you disturbing me today? You have called on me already yesterday, and now you're calling me again?" No, no, no. God is not like us. God is not like us. Luke 11. Dearly beloved, open your Bibles there. Luke chapter 11. 5 through 13. Here, Jesus Christ is teaching again. And he teaches about the persistent friend. Look at verse number 5 of Luke number 11. Luke chapter 11. "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.'" Now, was he just giving an excuse here? Apparently not. According to historians and cultural apologists, they would say that the situation in usually the households of the Israelites, that they sleep in the same room. There's just one big room there. And so when somebody wakes up, everybody wakes up. So he's really literally saying, "No, my children are really beside me, and if I wake up, I will disturb their sleep. So no, I am not. The door is shut." Right? Verse number 8. "I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." This is a cross-reference of our passage from Matthew 7. "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Progressive intensification, dearly beloved. That must be the characteristic of our prayer. We don't stop until we hear God's answer to our prayers. Now, although these verbs work as a single unit, it's beautiful. You ask and you seek and you knock. There is also weight in taking them individually as well. Like the word, go back to Matthew chapter 7. Like the word ask. I went to the Greek and looked at what it means. It means to beg, to call for, to petition, as exemplified by a child-father relationship. That's what you mean when you ask. Dearly beloved, the encouragement here is you need to ask. You and I need to ask our Father, because there is nothing impossible with our Father. He is an almighty God. He's the everlasting Father. And He loves us. Even if you need wisdom, The Word of God says, we just ask. Look at James chapter 1. James, the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, gives us this encouragement to us. To us, if we need wisdom, let's go to that passage. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. James 1, 5 to 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. That's the same word. Ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But if you ask, let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. We ask, dearly beloved, even for wisdom. I don't know about you, but maybe this week there is something you need to decide on. There's something you're struggling about and you're asking for discernment. You're looking for wisdom. You're looking for knowledge on how to approach a specific aspect of your life. Maybe in your studies, maybe in your relationships, maybe in your personal relationship with your parents, or maybe with your love life, you're with a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or even in your marriage. And you're looking for wisdom. How am I going to approach this specific aspect? You go to God and, dear God, dear Lord, dear Father, I ask wisdom. Because God promises He will give it to you liberally. Look at again in the book of Ephesians. Another passage here that encourages us to ask. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3 verse number 20. This is some sort of a benediction here of the Apostle Paul, where he says in Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let's pause for a moment. What Paul is saying here, we have a God who knows how to give us more than what we ask for. Sometimes we ask for a thing and we think it's the best thing ever that we have ever asked. We think we know what's best for us. We think we know exactly what time it should be given, what item should be given to us, because we know ourselves very, very well, right? We know our needs very, very well. And if God just gives this to us, it'll be a perfect life. But listen, dearly beloved, the best person who knows us is not us. It's God. And there are times that He negates our prayer requests and He gives us what He believes is best for us. That's what the Bible says. He can give us abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Oh, dearly beloved, you may ask this morning, so why don't I receive, Pastor? I prayed. Why don't I receive? Well, if you go back to James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, there's a simple reason there. James says, because we don't ask. Wow. Are you looking for some deep reason? Very simple. We don't spend time in prayer. We don't bend our knees before God and ask. That's the reason why we do not receive. We do not ask. And Joel Beakey yesterday gave us four reasons why we don't ask. Why we don't consider prayer as an important aspect of our lives. Why? He says, pride. I can do this. You know? Number two, presumption. I know already what I need. Number three, self-sufficiency. Oh, I can do this. I'm very skillful. This is my specialty. This is my pièce de résistance. Well, number four, laziness. We're just lazy. We'd rather play in our computer games. We'd rather go to Instagram. We'd rather go to Facebook. We'd rather play sports. These are good things, dearly beloved. These are good things if we use them for the glory of God. But if they take away our time from the most important virtues of the Christian lives, dearly beloved, they become idols of the heart. And so we need to be careful. We need to be careful for these four things. And maybe you can add more reasons here why we do not ask. And maybe I can add one. As I was thinking about this, maybe faithlessness. We don't believe that God can give us what we ask for. It's impossible, Pastor. It's impossible. I have think of this over and over again, and I have ascertained that there are only three ways to go about this. Wow. You know? And if even if I ask, I don't think God can solve it. Faithlessness can be a reason as well. But dearly beloved, we must ask in our lives, we must keep on asking for God's answers to our prayers. So let's ask. The second verb there, going back to Matthew number 7, or chapter 7, is the Greek word seek. Seek. The meaning of seek is to search for, to desire. And very interestingly, when I went to that word in the Greek, it means to worship or to plot your life. It's the same word in Matthew 6:33. You can memorize that verse, right? But seek ye first the what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. That's the same word. In other words, in our prayers, we don't command God to do something for us. No, we plot our lives around obedience to God. Surrender to God. That's the attitude we have. And what great encouragement we have in the Word of God if we seek. If we seek. Look at Jeremiah 29 from the words of the weeping prophet. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13. Here, as if through the words of Jeremiah, God is speaking. And He says, and you will seek Me. I'll probably go start verse number 12. It's beautiful here. Then you will call upon Me, God says, and go and pray to Me, and I will listen to you. Wow. Beautiful encouragement. God will listen to you. And you will seek Me and find Me. And when you search for Me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord. Did you hear that, dearly beloved? Sometimes we feel like our prayers just go up to the roof. It's just our roof is very thick. It doesn't go up to heaven. That's rubbish. As a child of God, as a son of the Almighty King, the daughter of the Creator of the heavens and the earth, your prayers reach the heavens. And not only the heavens, but the ears of God and the heart of God. Seek, dearly beloved. We must have the attitude of the shepherd in the parable of the lost sheep in Matthew 18. What did he do? He has 99, right? But did he say, oh, that's fine. I have 99 sheep here now. I can just go on with my way and da-da-da-da-da. You know, no. He leaves the 99 and looks for the one lost sheep. That same attitude should be our attitude for prayer. We must keep on seeking for God's answers to our prayers. So that's ask, that's seek. And now the third verb is knock. Knock. Knock and it will be opened to you. Now, of course, this is what it is. This is what it means. It just to beat the door. But interestingly, in the Greek, it has a additional definition here: to beat the door with a stick. I don't know why, but that's what the concordance says. Not with your hand, but with a stick. I don't know. I was thinking about this. Why do you think this is the case? I thought of one reason. I don't know, maybe you can think of another one. The sound of the stick against the door is annoying. It's just annoying. Like, have you tried that before? Try to annoy your wife, you know, the door with a stick. It's just annoying. And I think that's the point here. Not to annoy. Okay? Not to annoy. But you see the persistency here. Beat the door with a stick in order to gain admittance. Because the picture, of course, is that the door is closed. The door is shut, right? You will not knock if it's open, right? But it's closed. So you're knocking to gain admittance. It carries the idea of seriously exhausting all ways to get an answer. Since the door is closed, you want that door to be opened. So you keep on knocking. Don't stop. And that's the attitude we have with our prayers, dearly beloved. In our prayer lives, we must keep on knocking for God's answers to our prayers. Now, is there a difference between praying persistently and praying repetitively, like that of the heathen in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 7? Remember that verse that we studied Sundays ago? Matthew chapter 6, verse number 7, where it says, "But when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." Jesus Christ in verse 8 says, "Therefore, do not be like them." So is there a difference between what we're preaching about here, persistence in prayer, and repetitive prayers? Are they the same? No, they're not, dearly beloved. Matthew chapter 6, 7, vain repetitions there means to chatter, to be long-winded, and to utter empty words. That's what Jesus Christ is preaching against. These prayers mimic the sounds of a meaningless jabber. Like you're just saying, blah, 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 something like that. It doesn't mean anything. There's no meaning. There's no passion. These are thoughtless statements. You don't really have heart behind those words. There's no mind and soul behind them. So God is not opposed to repeating our requests and prayers. The content of prayer of the heathen doesn't reflect an intimacy with God. That's what God is against. They just jabber in meaningless words. They are indifferent before God. My friends from the Philippines, the majority of my fellow countrymen are Catholics, and they're very, very used to praying the rosary. I don't know if you've seen them pray that. Some of those are very religious. They have these smaller versions in their wrists, because most of them are necklaces. And I've seen them when we travel on ships and boats, that they're just holding those beads one after the other and without meaning or without heart, they're just memorizing those prayers over and over again. And Jesus Christ says here that they think by those processes that they just keep on repeating that the Lord will hear them. Those are in prayers that are indifferent before God, dearly beloved. Those are the prayers we should not do. But praying persistently can be repetitive, yes, but it brings sincerity before God. Jesus, Paul, and others in the Bible have prayed the same items repeatedly, but they did so with intimacy with our Father. Persistent prayers are prayers with passion, with heart. They engage the mind and emotions. Like a mother that I know who have been praying for her son who is an unbeliever, and every time I pray with her, she cries. Her heart is there. That's the mother's heart. You cannot stop her from praying for her son over and over again. Morning, noon, night. She would pray for her son, that her son will come to know Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord, that your son will leave the world. That's persistence in prayer. And I believe that is something that the Lord hears. So, this is a reminder about our attitude in prayer, persistency. Are you a persistent prayer warrior? You don't stop until you hear God's answers to your prayers. I don't know what you've been praying about. Some of you, maybe you've been praying for something in your life for years and years. Maybe just like that mother. The salvation of her son. Maybe you've been praying for your parents, for your sister, for your brother, for your neighbors. Maybe you've been praying for unity in your family, for healing in for your life from all of your hurts and pains that you have gone through, from your marriage. Maybe from all the abuse that other people have done to you. Maybe you've been going through depression in your life. And you feel hopeless. Don't stop praying. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Be persistent, brother and sister. Do not stop until you hear, until you see the answer of God to your prayers. That's the second here that we see is a reminder about our assurance. Look at Matthew 7, and this time verse number 8. Jesus continues with his words, "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Oh, what an encouraging word. If verse 7 ends there, I don't know, will we be so encouraged? I think verse number 8 really gives us a boost of encouragement this morning, my brothers and my sisters. Because when you keep on asking, the word of God tells us there, you will be given. Because if when you keep on seeking, you will find. When you keep on knocking, the door shall be opened upon you. And even more, the encouraging word here is in verse number 8, where it says, "For everyone." Not just the pastor's prayers are answered. Not just the prayers of the deacons are answered. Not just the prayers of the ministry leaders are answered. Not just the super spiritual. No, it says everyone's prayer is answered. Now, who is everyone here? We need to look at the context, of course. Jesus Christ here was preaching to his followers, to the kingdom citizens, to the Christians. Now, there were unbelievers listening in to the sermon, yes. So they're able to hear the privileges, the commands to the Christians, to the believers. But the primary audience of the sermon are the followers of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus Christ says here, everyone, he talks about all those who have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Those who have been adopted into the family of God. Whether you're only a 1 year old Christian or 10 years old as a Christian. Or some of you here have been Christian for 50 years. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter. When you seek, you will find. When you ask, it shall be given to you. When you knock, it will be opened upon you. I am sure that you have a question in your mind right now, which goes something like this. Pastor, really? Will God really give me anything I ask in prayer? Anything at all? Oh no, one brother is already shaking his hand. He said, is it really anything and everything? And if you've been a Christian for a while now, you might add, how come by my experience, I don't really get everything or anything? Now, that's a contradiction, Pastor. See, the word of God is like, no, dearly beloved, no. These are valid questions, yes. But there seems to be a contradiction here between the verses and our Christian lives, but I'm telling you, there's none. There's no contradiction here. Was Jesus Christ joking here when he said this? Was he mistaken or was he just exaggerating to give us false hope? Or are we doing our asking, seeking, and knocking the wrong way? The problem lies, I believe, on the common notion nowadays of self-entitlement and selfish personal rights. Some people have this concept that, okay, I'll be a Christian and I will enjoy all the blessings that Jesus Christ gives me. And if I'm not satisfied, I'm not happy, I just go and close the door behind me. That is what's happening today. Our generation is big on this kind of concept. We have this idea that since we have done things for God and for His kingdom, I have served in the church. I have come to church every Sunday. I have attended Sunday school. I have served in Kappa or Krish or whatever. And so we think that because we have done things for God and His kingdom, He owes us. And so, Lord, every time I pray now, you owe me. Remember, I served you last Sunday. That must amount to maybe 2-3 prayer items that you must answer. Especially this one. I need a girlfriend, Lord. And I have this list. Beautiful, tall, you know, all of this. Lord, today give it. She should wear red today. So when I come to church, you know. So the prayers of those who hold on to these kinds of concepts with such motives begin to look like demands. Demands of immediate gratification. Demands for quick results. Demands for worldly and temporal solution. And you want for God to be like to act like a genie. Just to rub him and then he comes out of the lamb and he can offer you all the wishes you want. prayer, dearly beloved, is not designed by God in that way. It's not designed by God to command him, to give us what we want at a specific moment. John 3:22 tells us whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Some people just stop there on the whatever we ask, we receive from him. And they miss out the rest of the verse. But the rest of the verse tells us it's because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. The key point of that verse is this. Our petitions change when we live our lives abiding, obeying, and worshiping God. That's the point. Because when you obey God, when you follow God, when you worship God, your life, my life changes. And we begin to see life from God's perspective. And we begin to desire what God desires for us. And we begin to love what God loves, that we should love. That is the point of prayer. When we are intimate with God, obedient to him, surrendered to his sovereignty, we start to ask according to his will. And we surrender to his beautiful and perfect time. Look at what John says in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, 14 through 15. 1 John, that's towards the end of the Bible, dearly beloved, towards near the book of Revelation. And John says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know with certainty that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. That's what John says. Petition that we have asked of him. Dearly beloved, I'm sure even by now that you have grown to be a Christian. You have grown spiritually mature. Now you are amazed how you're a different person. How God changed you that before. Oh, Pastor, 10 years ago, if I'm in the same exact situation, I would have asked for this. You know? But now, thank God, he changed my mind. Now I'm in the same situation. But wow, this is not the John anymore that I knew before. Now instead of, Lord, please take this away, these storms of my life. Why now? Now your prayer is what? Lord, show me your power through the storm. Wow. Lord, may you be glorified through how I respond to the storm in my life right now. Wow. And you and I can attest, that's not me. That's God working through me. Because if it's just me, I will have all this list that God will need to solve in my life right now. Andrew Murray, a South African pastor, teacher, and writer who lived from the 1800s to the early 1900s. He says this, when you live according to God's will, you are spiritually able to discern what to ask for. A life yielded to and folded by the will of God will know what and how to pray for. Boldness in prayer comes from the assurance that the spirit of asking and the thing asked are both according to the will of God. Beautiful. Beautiful. That's why one author also said it is important not to mistake what Jesus is saying as laying down conditions which, if met, will move God to respond to us. No. Jesus is not saying if you ask ardently enough, then God will answer your prayer. No, he is simply saying that when we feel a need so intensely that it drives us to the Lord again and again, we need not be discouraged, even if the answer is delayed. That's the true attitude of prayer. So one pastor I heard said this, if the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If the motive is wrong, God says grow. But if the request is right and the timing is right and the motive is right, God says go. That's a beautiful summary of that. The Ligonier Ministry has this on its website. Even God's no to us is evidence of his great love for us. evidence of His great love for us. So have an assurance that even though it's a no, God will give us something better. Remember that each time when we pray, our Father's ears and heart are always listening, and He answers our prayers according to His will for His glory and for our own good. And the last reminder here is found in verses 9 through 11. The reminder about our Abba. Abba. A-B-B-A. Abba is the Hebrew term for father, or daddy, or papa, or in the Philippines, tatay. That's our term for father, tatay. Or in our dialect, amahan. Amahan is a word for tatay. This term denotes intimacy, affection, confidence. When we pray, we must remember who our Abba is and what kind of an Abba He is. Here, the Word of God tells us, go back to Matthew 7. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Jesus here tackles the reality of our earthly Abbas, or our earthly fathers. Yes, we fathers are imperfect fathers. We cannot even come close to the kind of Father our Heavenly Father is. He's perfect. He's wonderful. Our earthly fathers, we earthly fathers, we are sinners. We are imperfect. We don't know what our children perfectly needs. That's why even here in this passage, we are referred to here as being evil. That Greek word there used for evil is wicked or sinful. If we are humble enough fathers, we know we are that. And the word if there that you find can be better translated as sins. Since you then being evil. Jesus says that even sinful, evil, wicked fathers, imperfect fathers, and that's who we are. We know how to give good gifts to our children, right? I mean, sometimes we joke also about that. Like, sometimes when my kids are hungry, and then they ask, Daddy, I'm hungry, what can we eat? Oh, I have a good idea, there's air. And then they said, no, then I'm just kidding. No, what food do we have there, Daddy? So even daddies, imperfect daddies, no. We can't just give air to our children and say, oh, enjoy air. Eat that for now. No, we give food. We give healthy food. We give fish. Do you give healthy food to your children? Do you yourself eat healthy food? But we know what to give, right? And here's the question. How much more our Heavenly Father? He's loving. He's good. He's faithful. He's perfect. There are big differences between our Heavenly Father and our earthly fathers. God is God. Earthly fathers, humans. Holy, sinful, good, evil, perfection, imperfection. Dearly beloved, the bottom line is our God is a good Heavenly Father. He will only give what is good for us. I remember a song entitled, You Are Always Good. It says, looking back, I can see your fingerprints upon my life, always seeking my best. Can you say that this morning? Oh, 60 years, Pastor, 70 years, Pastor, 30 years, Pastor, and all I can see is the fingerprints of God's goodness in my life. There were times when your way would make no sense. Oh, I can relate with that. I'm sure all of us can relate with that. But as you said, you have never left. You are always good. You are only good. You're always good to me. Though my eyes can't see, help my heart believe. You are always only good. I hope this will propel us to pray, dearly beloved. The goodness of God. Maybe you have been praying and praying for items in your life. For your health. For your marriage. For your financial needs. For direction maybe in your life. Pastor, I'm lost. I don't know what to do with my life. And there's, of course, added to that, the chaos. And all the changes that are happening every single day. And the problems as well. What now? Brother and sister, don't give in to worry. Don't give in to doubt. We discussed that this past Sundays. Don't give in to fear. Don't give in to panic. Instead, you need to have faith that our God, our Heavenly Father, is good. And He's always good. He knows what's best for you. And if you pray, you ask, and you seek, and you knock, and you pray according to His will, believe you will receive what is for His glory and for your own good. The fact of the matter is, if that we do not really have the ability to know fully and completely what is good for us. We don't have that ability. Only God has the ability to know what's good for us. And He gives us that good thing for us. We need to trust Him. Lawrence Richard says, God really does care about those things that matter to His children. And God responds to our requests by giving us good gifts. So pray, because God will give you what's best for you, what's best and what's for His glory. You know, I'm surrounded by many pastors' kids in the Philippines, and it's a big thing there in our organization. We have the pastors' kids, the PKs we call them. And they gather, they have PKs camps and all of that. And one pastor's kid emphasized one time that when he was younger, he doesn't want to have anything to do with ministry. Because growing up as a pastor's kid, there's just a lot of pressure on him. And sorry to say that the church just has this high standard for, because you're the kid of the pastor here. And so you need to do this, you need to do that. Growing up, bitterness grew in his heart because of that. And all the hurts and pains of their parents that they've gone through, they saw that. And he said, I don't have anything to do with the church. But he knew that every night his nanay prayed for him. Because when he comes home from the club or wherever he would go home, the door of their parents is left ajar, and he would hear his mom praying for him. Even sometimes with tears. And he would hear that often, and he knows that because his mom, his dad would pray, would tell him, we're praying for you, son. Praying for you. But that mom, pastor's wife, died early. And that add to his bitterness in his life. Why, God, did you take away my mom? He's the only woman who really prays for me. And that, he says, kind of changed his mind. Like, mom prayed for me. She prayed for the important things in my life. That kind of awakened something in his heart. Especially his relationship with God. So that for the first time, hearing a lot of messages from his own father, from the pulpit, of salvation, of gospel, the gospel, the good news. For the first time in his life, it became so clear how that the Heavenly Father loves him. And right there and then, he repented of his sin and trusted Christ as his Savior. And even today, he would say, that is because of the prayers of his mom that God gripped his heart. Oh, dearly beloved, don't stop praying. Our Father is good. He knows your heart. And we are to ask with a beggar's humility, to seek with a servant's carefulness, and to knock with a friend's confidence. E.M. Bounds listed all these praying saints in the Old Testament, and I will end with this. He said, Abraham was the man of prayer. Moses was the mighty intercessor. Elijah was a praying prophet. Hezekiah was a praying king. Ezra, the praying reformer. Nehemiah, the praying builder. Daniel, the praying captive. How about you today? Who are you going to be? Maybe you'll be the praying mother, the praying father, the praying husband, the praying mom, the praying teen, the praying classmate, the praying son, the praying daughter. I pray that this encouragement right now to ask, to seek, and to knock will remain in our hearts to encourage us to be persistent in our prayers. Father, thank you so much for your word. It's only by your grace that we can be the prayer warriors that we should be today. Our enemy is like a lion seeking whom he may devour, is roaring every single day. If we miss to pray, Lord, we may feel weak against his darts. So Lord, help us to be strong. And one way to be strong is to pray. So help us, Lord, to have faith and to be persistent, knowing that our heavenly Abba is a good Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.